Can you all please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is from John chapter 11. It's on page 105 of the Pew Bibles, and it'll also be on the screens. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you, Danny. And thank you for the beautiful and joyful music this morning. Isn't that great? Let's give them another round of applause. And more music is to come. Which is why I think the planning center says that I only have 10 minutes for my sermon. So I will try to honor that, 10:25. Let's pray. Oh God has always made the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together this morning. And yes, together with all the saints, a great cloud of witnesses, be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. For we ask it in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. And so death visited this family at the wrong time. The family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know the sisters, don't you? Mary and Martha. We are told by John that Jesus loved them very much. But their brother Lazarus became ill suddenly, and a few days later, he died. And so we can understand Mary's sorrowful plea when she first saw Jesus after her brother's death. She fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." As you know, Jesus knew about Lazarus's illness a few days before, but he didn't rush over right away to save him. And now there is this grief and there is this anger. And so we can feel her grief. And her attitude was natural at this untimely death of her brother. Obviously, Lazarus was not an old man, young man. And she had seen Jesus' healing power at work, or at least heard about it. And so she knew that if the master had been there earlier and had willed it, Lazarus would still be alive. We feel her grief. And some of us have been there before. A young father suddenly dies from a heart attack. A young mother becomes a victim of cancer. Or someone who is so raged with anger and hatred walks into a house of worship and begins to shoot and kills innocent people whose lives really embodied nothing but love and kindness. Surely if God had been there, this wouldn't have happened. Why? You and I know that life's mysteries are too great for us to understand fully, aren't they? And that's why I think the story of Lazarus is so important. Not because it helps us to understand the mystery of suffering and death. We still understand very little about these intruders, suffering and death. But we treasure this story because while we struggle with suffering and death, it somehow, at least for this moment, helps us to understand our faith, our sense of trust, our confidence about God's love in the presence of suffering and death. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the friends who had come along with her also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, says the writer of John. Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Come and see here." And then we come to the shortest verse in the scripture. Jesus began to weep. In other translation, it simply said, Jesus wept. It's short, but it is so important. Jesus wept. After all, where would we be if we could not believe God cares about our suffering and death and loss? Where would we be as a church if we do not continue the ministry of caring that Jesus had shown and started? And thank God our church here at Thousand Oaks has and will continue to provide that caring ministry in the future. In fact, last Monday I was in Pasadena area on my day off with a group of my clergy friends when I received an email announcing that there will be a special community service of solidarity that evening at 7 o'clock to remember the victims of the shooting in Pittsburgh synagogue. I actually even had a dinner plan in Pasadena that evening. And then a little while later, I received a personal phone call from Rabbi Spiegel from the temple, personally asking for my presence. Not only that, but also asking me to share a few words of hope and comfort. And so I knew what I had to do. I canceled my evening plan and immediately rushed back to Thousand Oaks. And believe it or not, this image of Jesus weeping just came to my mind as I was driving back. Of course, I didn't mention that in my message that evening, but in my mind, I knew why I had to be there and why I was there. And in my opening remark, I told our Jewish brothers and sisters that we not only share parking lot together, and I understand it's a little crowded this morning, but we share our pain, our grief, and our tears in such time as this. Rabbi Spiegel was so appreciative of the cards that our children and some of you have written last Sunday. He even actually read a few of those notes that you have written, that your children have written. And again, I want to thank Danny St. Clair for leading that with that wonderful idea. Again, Jesus wept. God does care, and so do we. And the people around him said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Well, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And this is the question that we all struggle with. Why couldn't he? We know God cares, but why doesn't God prevent bad things from happening? Why didn't Jesus rush right over to save the family from all this grief? In fact, I could preach on that alone, on why the delay and what it means to wait on God and our patience, but that's for another day. But again, why? You have the power to open the eyes of the blind man. Why couldn't you? They knew that God cares. Again, they were simply puzzled by all this. And so do we. And we still do. Fortunately, this isn't the end of the story, is it? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Sounds familiar? Large stone covering the entrance. His own grave would be covered with a large stone. He said, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, you know, sister of Mary and Lazarus, "by this time there is a stench, for he has been there for 4 days. You remember Martha, don't you? She was the one, you know, who complained to Jesus about her sister just not helping her and sitting at the feet of him while she did all the work. And so Martha gives Jesus a piece of her mind. "Don't even bother. It already stinketh in there." Then Jesus said, "But hold on, Martha. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Just unbind him and let him go." And so the story ends. Unbind him, take off the grave clothes, and let him go. Let him go. What a powerful end to the story. Our Lord weeps with the grieving family and comforts them, and at the same time has the power over life and death. And that's why, you see, death is not the end of the story. It's not. You know, as I look back, since last year's All Saints Sunday, we have said farewell to many faithful, long-time loyal members of this church, 7 members. And the other day, I was thinking about just exactly how many funerals and memorial services that I might have done since I became a pastor. I'm not like my dad, who keeps every record, but I think I must have done about 180. And as I was thinking about the past funerals and the memorial services I have officiated, I am reminded that no two deaths are alike. I recall being there for a family, for their stillborn child who had a name, named Matthew. And then there was baby Jonah, born prematurely. I baptized baby Jonah at Loma Linda Hospital, and just a few months later, he passed away, and I had to bury him. And then there was a tragic death of a 16-year-old young lady, tragically cut down by auto accident. 25-year-old young man. And then there was Mildred Hockenberry, I remember, who lived to be 104. And this year, as you know, my family is grieving the loss of my father. And especially, I know it's going to be tough during this special season that we are about to enter. In fact, this robe and this stole that I'm wearing is the one that my dad used to wear. Those of you who have been to some of the services that I officiate, I often make this remark: death always comes as a shock. It doesn't matter how long it has been expected or how well you have prepared for it or how many times you have rehearsed in your mind what it's like to lose your loved one. It always comes too soon, and it always comes at the wrong time, and it always hurts. But again, this story reminds us it's not the end. In fact, Paul admits in his letter to Corinthians, Christ has taken the sting out of death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death? The death of a loved one crushes us, but we can find strength and hope because Christ is the Lord of life and death. Death has no dominion. Just as Lazarus was raised from the dead, so are those who are in Christ resurrected to new life. And this is the great good news that has been promised to us in times like this. We need to understand, however, why Jesus performed this miracle of the raising of Lazarus. And it was not to give Mary and Martha back their brother. Trust me, it was nice for a moment. Jesus cared about Mary and Martha, but no more than Jesus cares about every person in the world. I mean, can you imagine if caring were the only reason Jesus raised Lazarus? Every cemetery in the world would be empty because he cares about everyone in the world. And the world would be unbelievably crowded, right? Overcrowded. The answer to why Jesus raised Lazarus is found in that Jesus' prayer. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the sake of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. Jesus raised Lazarus in order to assure those who follow him who he is and who he will be. Lazarus' raising was not permanent. He did eventually die again physically, poor Matt Lazarus, you know, or else he would be still walking around. I mean, can you imagine Lazarus on late night show, you know, Jimmy Fallon asking him, hey, Lazarus, how does it feel to be more than 2,000 years old? Death is part of life. Lazarus was raised from the dead so that you and I would know that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who has power over even death. He has the authority over power. Now, some see Jesus as principally just as good moral teacher. Others as an inspirational leader and speaker. Certainly, he was both of these. But do you see him on this day as the one who raised Lazarus from the dead? If you do, it'll change your life. If Jesus has power over life and death, we need not fear anything. And that's the good news. We can trust him with our lives. We can trust him with our loved ones. He cares. He weeps at the graveside. And he has the power over life and death. Lazarus, come out! The dead men came out. And those around will say, who is this man? To whom even the dead responds. What more do we need to know? Amen. Sorry, went a little longer than I expected.